I mean, I'm on this mission to change the way that people look at sales. And by the time I'm done, we might actually need a new word for it, because I literally want people to look at this as a true life skill.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sell or Die podcast, the global premier personal development and sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and my newest book, The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. We are interviewing leaders in business, sales, and personal development to give you the strategies it takes to make more sales and make more money.
Strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear them.
In a manifesto moment?
Well, no, more like in a New York Minute.
Oh, thank you to all the diehards out there supporting us with listens and five-star reviews.
Be a star on Sell or Die. Leave your own review. Come on. Go to your computer right now. Go to iTunes right now and write down, type down, talk down exactly how you feel about this podcast and how it might affect others.
All right. I want you to enjoy today's show. Take notes and tell us what you think on our Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group.
All right, let's get to it. It's time to sell or die.
All right. We're thrilled today to talk to Dr. Cindy McGovern, the First Lady of Sales.
Ooh.
Dr. Cindy is the CEO of Orange Leaf Consulting, where she helps people grow their business by taking the ick out of sales. She helps people who think they can't sell or aren't in sales realize they're inner salesperson.
Whoa.
So welcome, welcome. We are so glad you're here today. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It is an absolute pleasure to be here.
All right, so where did the title, the First Lady of Sales, come from?
Yeah.
So funny enough, it actually started more as a joke. I was often the only woman in sales or the woman in the room kind of thing. And so I'm originally from the South, mm-hmm. and folks would refer to me as, you know, this lady's going to get up here, this gal's going to get up here. And there was one day where I was speaking and somebody said, she's not little lady, she's the First Lady. And I thought,
whoa,
that sounded pretty good. And so, you know, whoever's listening, if that was you that said it, I'd love to give you credit, because it was pretty great. And it just sort of caught on. And so I was speaking at another event not long after that. And then somebody else said it. And finally I said, you know, I'm going to take that and run with it.
I love that. That's pretty awesome. And now, are you a doctor of sales or what are you a doctor of?
My PhD is in communication, organizational communication. So it's a third business, a third communication, and a third psychology. So,
wow.
Oh, wow.
And so are you able to transfer that sort of logical degree into the emotion that creates sales?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes. And that's what actually has led me to sales and been wanting to really help others in sales too, is because I took the theoretical aspect and was able to make it work for me in a way that was comfortable and not icky. And so absolutely, that's what I do day in and day out. And I'm very grateful to get to do it.
So did you grow up thinking that sales was icky, or where did this concept come
from? Yeah, where did you get your ick at?
Nothing like having the king of sales on here and telling him sales is icky. So
yeah.
I had this conception of sales that it was this icky thing, that it was the used car salesperson approach, timeshare sales, like anything that was really pushy. And that was my view of sales. And a lot of times I was around folks that were very fast talking, very slick. And when I found myself in sales, you know, as a college professor, then all of a sudden woke up and ended up in a sales role. And I thought, oh God, I've got to figure this out. I realized I've been selling my whole life. It just wasn't called sales. And I had to find a way to de-ickify it. But I literally thought sales was the pushy tactics. I didn't know it could actually be helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is your system to de-ickify it?
The first way to de-ickify it is just to recognize that it doesn't have to be pushy. And I think there's a huge difference between pushing sales on somebody and inviting them to buy. And I think really successful salespeople invite people to buy. It's not a push. It's not a push them uphill or force them into something or convince them of something. It's asking the right questions to uncover, gosh, I have something that actually could fulfill a need for you and I want to help. And it's more of sort of that helpaholic approach that helped me to be able to overcome the ick factor. I'm a helper. I love to help folks. And I went, oh, well, sales is just another way to do that.
Do you know your Enneagram?
You want to guess?
You're a two.
How do you know?
Just saying. We had a Woman Crush Wednesday episode. I don't know if you listened to it a couple of weeks ago where Kenna talked about Enneagrams in business and I got schooled.
Oh man. I haven't listened to that one yet. I need to though, because I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff.
Oh, so. You should. She was awesome.
I will. Yeah, woo babes, we call them.
Yeah. Wednesday woo.
Yeah.
Oh man. So did you grow up in a sales household or?
Not at all. And I think that was also why I had that misconception, because I bought into the stereotypes of sales that are portrayed in the media, portrayed in movies and such. And there wasn't that role model of a more inviting role of sales. And so when I finally got into it and I saw these fast talkers and I thought, oh God, I can't do that. I realized there was another way of doing it. And I will tell you, I have to brag on you for 2 seconds here, Jeffrey. The Little Red Book of Selling was one of my first little sales Bibles.
Cool. Thank
you. I was able to pull out and go, okay, I can do this.
So how you got your PhD, you feel great about the fact that the letters are hung on you. How long did it take you to get from that logic into the emotion of sales?
So that's a fantastic question. So I taught college for about 4 years, and then I moved into consulting full time. And I was doing sales and management consulting, but it was more like I was the coach. And then I got moved into a true sales role. And I remember the day, and it was actually amazing. My boss came to me and he goes, we're going to move you into a sales role. And I thought, oh God, this is not going to happen. He literally said, he goes, if you learn to sell, it will change your life. And it absolutely did.
Wow, that's cool. That is so cool.
Right after that. And I just got chills just talking about it, because I had no idea. And he saw something in me that I guess I didn't see in myself. And so once I realized somebody else believed that I could do that,
uh-huh,
and I could find a way to do it that was authentic to me, that did not feel icky, I caught a stride fairly quickly, but it took a while. And I still had, those moments of, oh gosh, I'm pushing or I'm stalking somebody, or I was doing a lot of cold calls and a lot of outreach. And so I was constantly battling that ick factor.
As the king of sales, I meet a lot of salespeople. And one major complaint that I have heard more now than ever is that selling has stopped being fun. You dread going on a sales call with a lead instead of feeling excited about it. You expect the worst when you see an email from one of your prospects or customers. And instead of feeling pumped about your product, you can't wait to get in the car and drive home. Is that you? Let's get rid of self-blame for just a second. It wasn't your fault that there's a myth that successful salespeople are born, not made. If your career in sales has stopped being fun, then you are responsible for redefining what that career looks like to you. You have to decide what you want to be and how you want to get there. I'm just offering you the tools to make it better and to make it happen. So why not try my 7-figure sales formula? I'm inviting you to give it a shot and make it count in your bank. Go to cgittimer.com, cgittimer.com, and I'll see you in September. Okay, so this is important. You de-icked yourself first. Be real careful. Sure. Be real careful where you put the hyphen. But you de-icked yourself first from the process of selling in order to be able to believe in it deep enough to where you could help other people do the same thing.
100%. And that's why, I mean, I'm on this mission to change the way that people look at sales. And by the time I'm done, we might actually need a new word for it, because yeah. I literally want people to look at this as a true life skill. And I think this should be taught in high school. I mean, I really am a fan of the fact that this is something that we can all do. It will make you better at your career. You'll have a better life if you learn how to do this. And I think I've got to tell that story, because I identified so much with that ickiness. And I was like, God, if I can do this, others can do this.
Well, speaking of that concept, you actually have a book coming out in September called Every Job is a Sales Job. So talk to us about why that concept is so important for people to understand that no matter what they're doing, they're selling.
Absolutely. So it came to me because a lot of the work that I do a lot of coaching with salespeople and sales managers, but more importantly, I work with folks who don't necessarily see themselves in sales roles and help them to affect growth of an organization. And I realized these guys had been selling their whole lives, but I had to convince them of where they had already been successful in it. And so, I mean, we were all five at one time. We were convincing our kids our parents to buy us a toy when we were kids or something. You know, we've all talked about those examples for years.
All emotion, though. Everything was emotion based.
100%. And so what ends up happening is over time, we start talking ourselves out of that for whatever reason. You get a no, or you start to get freaked out about it. And I want people to tap back into that inner child and know that you have been successful in this. And every job is a sales job, because a job interview is nothing more than a sales conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
Well, can we put the title of your book to a test?
Sure thing.
All right. So we're going to play a game.
Okay.
And we have a list of jobs here that you're going to determine how, if they are sales jobs. And we'll test that title out. All right.
I like it.
All right. Doctor.
Yes.
How?
So you've got to, so depending on what kind of physician, let's just say it's a general practitioner. What is that person's job? It's actually to make sure that patient has a wonderful experience and they actually fill out the survey when it comes, because hospitals get their Medicare and all these other things through their patient satisfaction scores. So a doctor is 110% in sales. And the old, you guys have probably heard this quote, but my job is to save your ass, not kiss it, is the mentality of a lot of doctors. And what I want to push on them is, no, your job is to actually make sure that patient experience is amazing, because that actually helps you, helps the hospital, and helps you to keep a job.
Bedside manner.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, let's choose another profession. You ready?
Yeah.
You got one, or you want me to go?
No, you have them right there.
All right.
We're ready for you, honey.
Janitor.
Janitor.
Janitor. So what is a janitor's job?
Pick up crap.
Yes. Clean stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
De-ick the whole building.
Yes.
But okay, how on earth is a janitor in sales?
Okay, so let's think about this. They are probably running into people in the hallways.
Yep.
They are running through and having internal conversations with colleagues or the folks that are renting the building. Who knows? But it is that daily interaction. They're selling themselves. We are selling 24/7, whether we realize it or not. And I think people forget that. You are literally selling your personal brand right now,
mm-hmm.
but they don't look at it in that way. So a janitor, the way that they carry themselves in the hallway, the way that they jump on something when there's a spill and they run over to it and make sure they take care of it, that's all sales tactics.
Or the way they surprise you mm-hmm. by doing something that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it is all about sales. They're selling themselves into that job or keeping that job.
All right.
I'm going to tell you that the guy who's the guard at Gabrielle's school.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Roland. He just pulls traffic in and puts traffic out in the morning. But we've developed over the last 5 years, we've developed a friendship. And it's like, can I get Gabrielle to accept me to walk across the street, or does she just want to dump me there to be with her friends? And we interact every day to a point where we're friends.
Yeah.
And I respect the guy for what he does and how he does it.
And he represents the school to you.
Totally. He's the face of that school.
Absolutely.
Everybody
is an ambassador.
He's a good guy. Must be a bunch of good guys over there. He's a horse's ass. There must be a bunch of horse's ass in there.
Oh, man. All right. We have a few more.
All right. I like this game.
Lawyer.
Oh.
Impossible. There's always an outlier, honey.
No, I actually work with a lot of attorneys, and I think they're all in a sales role, but I have a funny quick story about this. So I was speaking to a group of attorneys in the Northeast ages ago, and it was one of these where, you know, I'm talking about sales and they're thinking, oh, just get to the next speaker, or get to happy hour. And this gentleman comes up to me afterwards and he pats me on the shoulder and he says, that was an awful nice speech, little lady, but I don't sell. I'm a lawyer.
Right.
Oh, God. You're missing the boat. An attorney is nothing but selling themselves to clients so that they get referrals. They're selling themselves to the judge or to the jury. They're convincing them.
They have the toughest sales job in America,
yeah,
in my
do.
Opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They need to be bought. Any murder case or any, mm-hmm. If a high-profile case, that lawyer's the sales guy.
For sure.
And they're
selling that they're the best lawyer for the person.
And I think that's where lawyers sometimes forget, too, is because they're not realizing. They're like, well, I have to do a good job. I have to, letter the law, all these things. But you're actually selling yourself to that person so they go tell their friends.
Oh, yeah.
But so-and-so, and he or she was amazing.
They're selling their interpretation of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's 90 interpretations. That's why they have courts.
It's the way they're going to tell the story. Absolutely.
So I have one more. And this one's a little personal to us.
Yeah.
We have a podcast producer here. He is amazing. His name is Nada. And I have a feeling, and Nada, maybe I don't know if you can chime in on the mic here, but Nada, do you think you're in sales?
Well, I absolutely am in sales.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Because I have to sell you guys on every single concept. So. Yeah,
that's
true. Absolutely.
Wait a minute. Salespeople are the most easily sold people.
We're pushovers.
You can sell me anything and I will buy it. I'm a sucker.
So I think that, and thanks, Nada, you actually are in sales because you also sell our customer, the podcast E, on how good we are,
mm-hmm.
and how easy it is to deal with us.
But also, like, Nada came up with the whole Woman Crush Wednesday segment, and he wasn't just like, okay, guys, we're going to do this Woman Crush Wednesday thing. Jen, you have a new interviewee role. He was like, we're going to have a meeting because I have this great idea that I think will help, that you'll love, and presented it in a way that it didn't feel like icky at all, but he was totally pitching me on this idea and concept that he had just formulated that has really taken off.
Sales, well done, Nada.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
So can you help me? When you go out right now in your consulting role, where do you feel you make the most impact?
Is the day that people realize they can do this. It's when they feel that empowerment and they recall in some way, shape, or form. 9 times out of 10, it's in their personal life where it happens first. Like, they'll realize they sold their, gardener on doing something different, or they sold their landlord on something. They'll realize they use the skills that I've been teaching them. And then they go, oh my God, it worked.
People have acknowledged that I am the king of sales because I married Jen.
Nicely done. I agree with that.
You finally got that acknowledgement after all these years.
Exactly. But the challenge is there a strategy where they go, aha? Is there a belief system that they have to internalize? What's the turning point? Where's the fulcrum point?
So there are two things that I think happen for a lot of folks. So I teach, a formula approach in terms of the way that you look at how you go about sales. And a lot of it has to do with planning and knowing what you want. And whether you're in an actual sales role or whether you're what you would consider a non-sales role, which we've just established everybody is in a sales role. But it's having that clear plan of what you're going to go after. And I think what ends up happening in the fulcrum for them is when they start realizing they're getting closer to the fruition of that plan. And that moment is a little bit different for every person, I think, depending on what the plan is. Like, for example, if somebody's plan is to get a raise and they realize that they got acknowledgement from the boss, that they did something pretty awesome, that's a turning point for them. And then they'll want to do more of it. It's kind of like if you've ever been around a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old and they do something cute that makes you laugh.
Yeah, then they do it 100 times. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to take it just a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
A person has a goal, and whether it's to sell somebody on their idea or not, but they don't love what they do. How much do they have to love what they do in order to be able to pull that sale off?
So I think that's an interesting question. And for me, I think you have to love what you do to a degree. At least you have to love something about it, because I think otherwise your motivation isn't there for yourself. If you're feeling like you're not getting something out of this, that's part of the issue. But I think a lot of folks can do more in that role, because if they would plan and actually sell, they're probably going to get to a role that they would prefer. I was a perfect example of this. I didn't want to be in a sales role. But I started to see those little pieces of, you know, oh, I got this record. And so I got like a $25 gift card to something. And then I got this record and then I got another. And then it was like, oh, wait a second, I can actually do this. And so I started finding enjoyment in it. Now, if we're talking about the janitor and finding enjoyment in their job, I think a lot of people struggle if they haven't found their path. And that's where I go back to planning with them. If this isn't what you wanted to plan to do, let's help you figure that out. Let's think about that and figure out what it is that does bring you joy. And for some people, it's a phone it in kind of a thing. It's a job. It's an 8-to-5. They go home and then their big thing is their family. Totally acceptable. But it's knowing where you fit in that sort of world and knowing what your driving force is.
I think it's interesting that you just said you liked what you did, but you didn't want to sell. And I think that there's so many entrepreneurs out there who love what they're doing. You have the cake baker who loves making cakes. You have the artist who loves creating art, and they love their actual craft. But then in order to stay in business, they really have to sell it, right? And they don't like selling it. They So what would you say to them? How do they get on board with that feeling of, okay, now I have to go sell it too?
Yeah. So a lot of the solopreneurs that I know and the solopreneurs that I work with struggle with this, right? And they're not feeding the top of the sales funnel because they're doing the work and there's all those issues that come along with it. But I think the first thing is they have to realize that sales is part of that job. And I think, and that's part of why I wanted to write this book, is I want people to realize it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're driving a car for a living or you're running a $5 billion company, you're still in sales. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is they have to realize they have to dedicate time to that and start to make it feel comfortable for them. And I think that's another place where solopreneurs or folks in coaching or training, consultants, you know, they struggle with that because they do love that craft, but they don't maybe love the sales side of it. But knowing that is your means to an end. So, you know, and I'll give you another personal example. I'm doing a lot more video now. Video was terribly uncomfortable for me in the very beginning and still is to some degree. But this is how I'm going to be able to get this message out and get this in the hands of the folks that really need it. So the mission is bigger than the fear. And so I'd say that like the mission of getting those cakes baked and get them to the folks that really want them is what your driving force is, and tapping into that.
And also you realize that getting the cake baked is the, to me, the epitome of what's happening in video today. They have all these cooking off things and these baking contests with it. And that's, you see the love of these people, and that encourages you to be your own Netflix, correct?
Absolutely.
Be your own Netflix.
And I think all it takes is that one person when they come and pick up their cake at the cake shop and they open that box and they see it and you see the look on their face, you want to go do it 10,000 more times. You know, it's that encouragement of realizing you've made somebody's day.
Some jobs don't inure happiness to them, like the janitor job. It's not like, I can't wait to clean up somebody's fucking trash today. So I did some consulting work in textile screen printing in the late 70s, early 80s, and this guy was the t-shirt maker for this company that cleaned septic tanks. It's not a very pleasant job. And he came up with the idea for the t-shirt that so-and-so septic tanks cleaning, we're number one and number two. And these guys wore these shirts every day. They sold the shirts. They gave the shirts away, and it ended up that they had a great time every day because of their shirt. So they injected humor into the process, and it became a total winner. So think about that, you know.
I love that. So I'm going to give you...
I have one of those shirts around somewhere, by the way.
In the archives.
Is it? Yeah. Actually genius, but they built a culture around it. Yeah. And that was actually a culture of sales. True, because
they didn't know it at the time. They didn't realize it at the time. They thought it was just like a funny thing. But it became so viral in their community, they went nuts.
Love that.
So I'm going to tell you who I think is the number one job out there that I believe, even over janitors, doesn't believe they're in sales. And that is the marketing person. Okay? They think they're in marketing. They are not in sales, and I know for a fact that we have diehards listening who are in marketing. What kind of conversation should they be having with their salespeople so that they can become better sellers?
So it's funny you bring up the word marketer, because that's what I wanted to call myself when I was first in sales.
Of course.
Yes, the first lady of marketing.
Yeah, the first lady of marketing.
I wanted to be a marketer because it sounded nicer. And it, you know, the sales word had that connotation. So I love that question. I would tell the folks in marketing, think about what their job is. Their job is to bring people to the plate. So we have the at bat for sales to knock it out of the park.
Right. They bring leads.
And if you're not bringing leads, you're not, nobody has a job the next day, right? Mm-hmm. But they have got to sell those ideas so that sales and marketing are working together. And that's one of the biggest challenges I see in consulting. And I'm sure you guys have seen it too with your clients.
Yeah.
Sales and marketing don't like each other. They're butting heads. And it's because they're missing the fact that they're both on the same page. But I think with marketers, it would be great if they realized their job is to get buy-in from the salespeople. And I think that's where they start to go wayward a bit, is they forget. They build all these wonderful things. They build social media and all this stuff, but they're forgetting you got to sell it to your internal customer too.
So they're selling a dual message. They're selling to the potential customer to want to be a lead, and they're selling to the sales team that says, hey, we're going to be able to do this. It's going to be a positive thing for you. You're going to get a bunch of leads and make a bunch of sales. Yep. Meanwhile, the sales guy, him or herself, goes out and makes cold calls and doesn't realize that the marketing message has already resonated with that potential customer, and they're gaining acceptance. Mm-hmm. So marketing's a misunderstood deal.
It is. And I think, and again, that's a lot of the work that we all do out in the world, is trying to help them to get along and play nice in the sandbox so that we all reach the common goal of growth and growing the business, growing the revenues.
All right. So where do people go to get your book, find out more about you?
Yeah.
The best place is drcindy.com, and we're going to be launching some pretty cool, fun, freebie stuff in the next couple of weeks to go along with the pre-launch of the book. And there's a blog there, and my goal is just to get this in the hands of the folks that want to advance their career, that want to grow their businesses, to get it in the hands of managers who are trying to build a sales culture. Every job is a sales job.
Awesome. It was so great to meet you and so great to talk to you.
Totally.
Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me. This was an absolute pleasure.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellerDieNetwork.com.